Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Ches. We're starting today's shir by the Mishnah, about 10 lines up from the bottom of Kuf Zayin Omid Beis. The Mishnah begins, Ezohi Kitano Shetzricha Lemoyin. What type of a Kitana has to do Miyun with her husband? In other words, she was married as a Kitana. This is a Din Derabanan. Her older brother or her mother married her off. Never her father passed away, or her father had married her off once as a Kitana on a Daraisa level, but then she got divorced, and now he can remarry her again, but only on a Derabanan level. So this child, who is married midrabanan, requires Miyun in the following situations. Kol shesiua ima v'achel l'daita. If the mother or the brothers married her off with her permission, or likewise in the situation where she is somi b'chayavia, that the father married her off with her permission, so then she would require to do Miyun. However, if they married her off without her permission, without her knowledge, so then she doesn't even need Miyun. The marriage is considered nothing from the first moment. Rabbi Chanina ben Atignos says, Kol tinokes she'eino yichol lishmar kiddushah. If a young girl is so young that she can't watch her kiddush, in other words, she has no das to know that this is something that's important and something that's not important, so eino tzrich lemoyin. So she likewise can't get married midrabanan, and even if she did get married midrabanan, the mother and a brother has married her off, that marriage is considered zilch. That marriage is considered nothing. The Gersa that we have now is Rabbi Elazar Omer. However, many of the Mepharshim say, and we mentioned this many times, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer are often mixed up in different situations. So here the Gersa should be Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein Maisei Kitana Klum. He says a young child's actions are considered halachically as if they were zero. In other words, she is not considered halachically married. And she's considered Eloki Mefuta. She's just like a woman who had been seduced and has no halachic status of being married. And therefore, Lamaisa, Bas Yisrael, the Kohen, if this was a child who was a Bas Yisrael, and she's married through this marriage that Rabbi Eliezer says has zero value to a Kohen, so lo tochal b'truma. She's not allowed to eat truma, because they're not considered married, so she's a Bas Yisrael, she can't eat truma. And vice versa, if it was a Bas Kohen, who's now married, quote, to this Yisrael, Li Yisrael, tochal b'truma, she can continue eating truma from her father's house, because she's not considered married to Yisrael. If a Bas Kohen truly were to be married to Yisrael, she no longer can eat truma. But here, this is marriage is considered nothing. It's a ketana, her actions in maser klum, so therefore, even though she's married, quote, this Bas Kohen is still allowed to eat truma, because her marriage to Yisrael is zero. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, kol akova shehimino ish, kiilu hi ishto. If the reason why she's staying married to this man is because of the man, so then, in that situation, she is considered like his wife. However, if there is a reason that she's staying married to him, but it's not because of the man, it's because of her, so then, then it's not considered like she's his wife. This is a very enigmatic statement. The Gemara will explain it in more detail. We'll wait till we get to the Gemara to explain it then. Gemara starts off and tells us, either Rav Yehuda the Amori said this, or was learned in a Braisa the following. Originally, the Lashon of the get miyun. Again, get is a document. In the vernacular, we always say get means a divorce, but get means a document, a shtar. So when they would write for the document of miyun, the Beis Din would write it, originally wrote it in a very lengthy, verbose type of a statement. And they would say, lo ro'inon bey. The woman says, I don't wish to be married to this man. Lo tzavina bey. I don't like him. I don't desire him. I don't want to be with him. V'les anoa boya lisnaswale. And I don't wish to be married to him. So this was a verbose, long statement. So the Chazal saw, even the Chazu did not finish Dibura. This was too long of a statement. They said, Amri, and we turn to Kuf Chesamad Aleph. Osi liichlufe begita, a boor type of a sofer. As Rashi says, Shechlevenu sofer boor, beget, gerishin, legarish boisha. This sounds very much like a get. It has too many words here, and it could be mistaken by an ignorant sofer and make this the lashon for a get. So therefore, takinu hachi, the rabbis changed this, and they said, just write the get mien with the following simple language. B'yom ploni, on such and such a day, mien plonis bas ploni, so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so, did mien ba'anfona, in front of us. So that's all you have to write, and that is the quote, get mien. Tanu Rabban, we learn the following braisa, eze mien, what is the definition of mien? Omra, the woman says, I efshi beploni bali. I cannot stand, I cannot want to be with my husband. So that's enough. That's called mian. Or she says, I efshi bekidushin shekichuni imi viachai. I no longer want the kiddushin that my mother or my brothers did for me. So this is all a normal lashon of mian, and the woman is no longer considered married. Furthermore, Yasser al Kain, even more than this, Amar Yehuda, a bigger chiddush. Yehuda the Tana said, "Afilo yeshevis ba period." Even if she was sitting in the bridal canopy, this was some sort of a carriage or some sort of a way that they would carry the brides to the actual wedding. So that pretty much seems to indicate that she's willingly going. She's going in this canopy, in this period, from her father's house to the husband's house. And yet she says, "Omra yefshi bifloni bali." She says to somebody, "I really don't want this." Even though she's going, and as Rashi points out, if she really didn't want it, why did she get up and go? Nevertheless, Rashi says, "Ilo boyale techos the sawzil." She should get up and go. Nevertheless, this is still considered a mian if she just says it, even though she doesn't get up and go. Zel mian, that is considered a valid mian. Furthermore, Yasra Kenama Reuda, the Tana Reuda says, furthermore, even if guests were coming to her in her new husband's home, and she's serving the guests, she's standing over them and giving them beverages to drink. But she tells him, I can't stand being with my husband. I don't want to be with my husband. That's also a valid mir. Rashi points out the chiddush over here is the lack of based, and even though there's no based in over here, that this is still a good mir. And furthermore, they didn't say anything back to her, and as if there's no response on their part, nevertheless, this is considered a valid mir. Furthermore, yes, okay, and Omar, now the girsa that we have is Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda. But the Bach changes this and said that it should be, again, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. And the words Rabbi Yossi, Bar, are deleted. So, yes, okay, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, furthermore, Afilu Shigro Ba'alo Eitzel Chenveni, even if the husband sent her to the storekeeper, to the Chenveni, Lohavi Lo Chayfes Mishlo, to go bring back something from the storekeeper, and she tells the storekeeper, of Omra, Yevshi Bifloni Bali, I don't want to be with my husband, that too, Ein Lecha Miyun Godol Mizeh. There's no greater Miyun than this. And the Chiddush over here, Rashi tells us, is that you might have thought that the only reason she's complaining because he was matriacher to go to the Chenveni, Lohavi Lo Chayfes Mishlo, nevertheless, this is considered a valid mian. So Rabbi Yehuda has three additional statements above and beyond what was the statement of her outright saying, I don't want to be with my husband. Then we quote the Mishnah. We had the opinion of Chanina ben Tignos. He said, Omer, kol tinokas v'chule. He said that a girl who is not capable of watching her kiddushin, so to say, so she was given a ring and she just tosses the ring. She doesn't think that that ring is something of value, so then that girl doesn't have to do mian. She's too young. Yehuda Mishmuel says, yeah, this is the way we paskin, that a girl who's so young, so immature, doesn't require to do miyam because she's not considered halachically married. Tano, we learned in the following braisa, Kitano shelo miyano the omdo of the nises. You have a Kitano who got married, is married to Rabbanon, and she didn't do miyam, but she went and got married to somebody else. But omdo of the nises. So Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Misera Amru Nisuel Hein Miuneha. So he says the fact, Yehuda Misera says, the fact that she went to marry somebody else, what bigger Miun is there than that, saying I don't want my first husband because she got married to a second husband. Now of course a woman who really has Kedushin, that's a deraisa Kedushin, she can't just go get married to somebody else. She would need a get. But here, since she can just remove herself via doing Miun, her simultaneous getting married to somebody else is the equivalent of doing miyun at the same time. So Gemara asks, how far do we extend this? Ibarlu, niskacha mahu. If she was only married with the first stage of marriage to the new husband, so is that considered a miyun to her current husband? So the niskacha is not, as we just pointed out, a nisuin, the nises liacher, but here, it's only niskacha. Do we view that as well as being a full-fledged mian? Gemara says, Toshma, Kitana shalom miyana v'omdo niskacha. Here you have a Kitana that didn't do mian, and the Brisa says beferish, and she only was niskadesh, so Mishum Yehudim v'seir, Amu kidushah, hein miyunah. Says, yes, the fact that she gets kiddushin even, not even on a full-fledged nisuim, but even just kiddushin to another man, there's no bigger mian than that by accepting kiddushin from another man. So they still further question this. They ask the following question. So is this only Rav Yehuda Misera who says this and the Chacham argue with him? Or no, the Chacham even agreed with this statement of Rav Yehuda Misera. That's question number one. Question number two, even im timtze lomar pligi, if you want to say that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yehuda Misera, Rav Yehuda Misera says that this is considered miyun. And the Chacham say, no, it's not considered miyun. Did they only machlokis? Was it only by kiddushin? But would they say, "Oh, afilu b'nisuin"? Or even if there was nisuin with the second husband, would they still say that that's not a good miyun? If they're saying that the kiddushin is not a good miyun, would they say that the nisuin is not a good miyun? And even the imtim siloma pligi afilu b'nisuin. And if you want to say that the chachamim say, even if she does nisuin with the second husband, that's not considered a good miyun. So, do we paskin halacha kemosa like Rabbi Masera? Or wait, halacha kemosa. In that situation, do we paskin like Rabbi Masera or not? And finally, the intim to lomar halacha kemosa. And in fact, we say we paskin like Rabbi Masera. Is that only by nisuin? But is that also or afilu be kedushin? Would that even be if there's only kedushin? Do we still paskin like Rabbi Masera? So, where it says the answer to all of these is that yes, we paskin like Rabbi Masera. Toshma, the Brisa says, I'm Rabbi Mishmuel. Rabbi Yehuda the Amora says the name of Shmuel. Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera. The Tana Rabbi Masera. Which implies halacha miklal de pligi, that the chachamim disagree with him. So therefore, the chachamim do disagree, and we pass like Rudim and Seira. The more still questions, we still have the question, da'abi nesiva meikara. Do we say that we're dealing here that this young girl was originally married as an asua, and then Rabbi Yehudim Seira says that by just accepting a new kiddushin, that's enough to release it from that nisuin, oduma mikacha? Or is it only in the case when the first marriage was kiddushin that we say that that is considered a miyun? So again, the Gemara says, Toshma, the following brisa says, the kalose de abdon imrut. We had this previously that abdon, remember abdon was Abba Yudin, and he had spoken a little bit inappropriately, a little bit with a chutzpahdik way to Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi, and he was punished. And one of the punishments that we brought down was from our Gemara here, that his two daughters-in-laws went and did miyun with his sons. The kalose, the daughters-in-laws of Abdon Imrut, they had rebelled against their husbands. In other words, they didn't want to be with their husbands. So, Shodar Rebbe, so Rebbe sent Zuge de Rabbanon, a pair of Rabbanon, Lemiv de Kinu, as Rashi says, to go and check out if in this situation, Ihave Mihadrin Mimordaihu, or not. Did they still refuse to be with their husbands? That's grounds for divorce without a ksuba if a woman refuses to be with her husband. And he went to send these two Tamidim to find out, did the daughters-in-laws of Abdon still persist in their merida against their husbands? Now, these rabbis then went to check them out, and Armelahu Noshi, all the women said to Abdon's daughter, the Chochus Noah says that these other women were actually the daughters of Abdon, who said this to their sisters-in-laws. And these women said, Chazu, go and see, Gavraichu de Ka'asu. They said, your husbands are coming. Now, they actually thought it was the husbands. They didn't realize these were rabbis that Rebbe had sent. So they said, oh, to the daughters-in-law of Abdon, they said, oh, your husbands are coming. So Amrilei, the daughters-in-law of Abdon said, Neve gavraichu didchu. They could be your husbands for all we care. In other words, that was a statement essentially of miyun. And Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said about this, Ein lecha miyun gadol bizeh. There is no greater miyun than them saying they could be your husbands. In other words, they were saying we don't want them to be our husbands. Therefore, my love, the Havi Nisiba. Now, weren't these fully married women? And yet you see that in the case where they were fully married, nevertheless, this applies that they can just walk away even though they didn't actually do a full-fledged miyun. So Mor says, who said that they were fully married? Lo, the Hava Mikdashah Kiddushin. They only had the first stage of Kiddushin. But maybe Rebbe would not have accepted them doing this indirect miyun if it was the second stage of marriage. Bottom line is, the Gemara says, "Halacha Ruyu the Masera, we pass like Ruyu the Masera, v'afilu b'nisuin the Kama." Even if the first case was a full-fledged nisuin, just an indirect miyun also satisfies the requirement for miyun. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, again, the Gersa that we have is Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, but we said it should be Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer v'chule. Rabbi Eliezer said that the actions of a katana are zero, are zilch. Amar Yudam Shmuel. Chazrani akol tzedadei chachamim v'lo matzasi adam shehishva midoso b'ketano k'rabbi Eliezer. Again, Rabbi Elazar is the Gersa we have. Rabbi Eliezer is the Gersa that it should be. So Rabbi Yudam Shmuel said, and amongst all the opinions that are given over here, none are as straight across the board as the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that the words of a ketana are zilch. Shaso Rabbi Eliezer kimatayelas imo b'chotzer, because Rabbi Eliezer considers this young lady who was married as just somebody who was walking with this person, her husband, v'omedes mecheiko, and then even though they had relations, when she gets up from him, v'tovelas, she just goes to the mikvah, v'ocheles v'trumal evren, she waits till her shemesh, so she doesn't have the tumah of keri, and then once it's nightfall, she can eat truma again as the daughter of a Kohen. Her husband's a Yisrael. That would normally have prevented her from eating truma. But here we say that the actions of the Ketana, Rabbi Eliezer says, are nothing, and therefore, Tovelas Yocheles B'truma La'erv. She can go back to her father's house and eat truma because the actions of the Ketana are zilch. Tanya, we learn further in a brisa, an expansion upon what we just said. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, in Maisei Ketana Klum, Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Maisei of Ketana are zero. They are absolutely worthless. Furthermore, that means the Ein Balo Zakei Lo Mitzios, so her husband, her quote husband, is not entitled to her Mitzios. Normally the husband, because he supports the wife, is entitled to any Mitzios, anything that she finds. Likewise, Lo Maisei Deh, normally the husband, because he supports his wife, is entitled to any money that she brings in, her handiwork. The Lo Baforas Nedorah, normally the husband can be made for the Nedorim that his wife makes that are pertinent to him. Here he can't. Vein Yarshen, Rachbanu son of his wife dies, he doesn't inherit her. Normally, since he has to go and redeem her, if she gets captured, so he in turn inherits her. So none of the quid pro quos apply over here because she's not considered his wife. Furthermore, if he's a Kohen, they know Matami law. Normally a Kohen would be allowed to be Matami to his wife, Rahman al-Assam, if she passes away. But here, they're not considered married, so a Kohen wouldn't be allowed to be contaminated. He can't go and be Matami to his wife if she were to die. Now, the bottom line is, Eino ki ishto l'chol dover ela shetzricha miyun. She's not considered his wife for anything, with the one exception that she needs to do miyun. On the other hand, Rishu Omer, Bala Zakai b'mitziyosa u'masiya dea. Rabbi Yoshua disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer. He says the Maisa of the Ketana are in fact a real marriage, and therefore the husband is entitled to any mitzios and any handiwork she does because he has to support her. Or about Farsa the Rat, and he's allowed to be made for any Nadarm that impact him. The Yarshin, Rahman Slan, she dies, he does inherit her. And since if he's a Kohen, he has to go and take care of his wife, Umitamila, he's allowed to go and be Mitami to her. This is only a Durabana marries, how is he allowed to be Mitami to her? So Rashi says, because he's like a Mace Mitzvah. Since he inherits her, nobody else is going to want to go take care of her. So therefore, he has to go take care of her like a Mace Mitzvah. And the bottom line is, Rabbi Shua says, Klol Shodover, Harei Hi Ki'ishto L'chol Dover, Elo Shiyotza Mimiyon. She is considered like a full-fledged wife, with the one exception that she doesn't go out with a get. She goes out with Miyon. And about this, Omer Rabbi said, Nir and Divri Rabbi Eliezer, Midir Rabbi Yeshua. It appears to me that Rabbi Eliezer is more correct than Rabbi Yeshua. Why is that? Because Rabbi Eliezer, Hishwa Midosa Biktana, Rabbi Yeshua Chilek. Because Rabbi Eliezer is across the board always saying that the Ketana's actions are zilch, whereas Rabbi Yeshua disagrees somewhat within his own understanding. What does that mean? My Chilek, how does Rabbi Yeshua disagree in his own understanding? So Gemara says, I ishtohi, if in fact this is his full-fledged wife, Tiboy get, she should need a get to go out. How come you're letting her go out with just Miyun? So that's the inconsistency, if you wish, in Rabbi Yeshua. Shemora says, Rabbi Eliezer has the same inconsistency. Rabbi Eliezer nami, ilav ishtohi, miyun nami loti boy. If Rabbi Eliezer says that she's not his wife, then she should not even need miyun. So how come Rabbi Eliezer says she needs miyun? Isn't that also chilek? Shemora says, no. Ella bichdi teipok? Should she go out without anything? You're right. Rabbi Eliezer says that the actions of a ketana are nothing, but still, they were living together in the same house, so she can't just go out without something, so she has to say, I don't want you. So that's not an inconsistency in Rabbi Eliezer. But to say that she needs a get, that is an inconsistency in Rabbi Yeshua. Therefore, chilek by Rabbi Yeshua, that's why Rabbi liked Rabbi Eliezer's opinion better. Mark continues and says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Chule, we said that it depends whether the ikuva came from the man or from the woman. And we said we didn't understand what that would mean, and now the Gemara is going to explain it. So Gemara says, Hei chidom Yaakovish imino ish, Yaakovish eino imino ish. What exactly is the definition that the prevention of her going out is from the man, and then it's considered that she does require miyun, and if the prevention is from the woman, then she's already done miyun, so to say. So Gemara explains, if somebody offered to her to get married to somebody else, this woman who's only married on the Rabbanu level, and we had said previously that she accepts marriage to somebody else, so then in fact she's doing miyun, but here she says, Amra, machmas ploni bali. She says, no, I don't want to get married to this other person because I'm happily married to my husband. So this would be an example. Zu Yaakov Ashi min ha'ish. This would be something that, so to say, her husband is causing her to stay married to him, and therefore she didn't decline this marriage because she doesn't like her husband, so therefore no miyun is implied over here. And therefore, in this situation, the woman is not considered that she has done miyun, even though she was offered another marriage, but she said, no, because I'm happily married. That's why I'm not accepting this new husband. And therefore, that's not as if she said miyun. But if it's machmas bnei adam shein hamugunin mehuganin loy, so if she says, listen, I'm not going to marry that guy, he's not worth marrying, he's a lowlife, he's not up to my standard of marriage, so then that's essentially saying that, yeah, if he was up to my standard, I'd be happy to marry him. So that's essentially miyun. Zu Yaakov she'eino mino ish, so the only reason that she didn't accept this marriage proposal isn't because of her husband, because they didn't think these people were worthy for her, and therefore that's as if she did miyun, and therefore she doesn't have to do miyun again. That's explanation number one. Abaya bar Ovin, Rabbi Chanina bar Ovin, the Amri Tavayu. These two sons of Ovin, Abaya and Rabbi Chanina, they said as follows. Nasan lo get, if the husband gave her a get, that's an example of Zuhi Yaakov Oshimareish. That perfectly shows that it's the husband that's getting rid of her, and therefore, in that situation, who also bekrov sell, the Yasur bekrov up. So that's a real get, and therefore, he no longer, the husband can marry any of her relatives that are normally also to a divorced man. She's not allowed to marry any of his relatives that are normally also to the divorced woman. And she's considered a Grusha, therefore, Solomon Akunin. She's not allowed to marry a Kohen. However, Miyana Abo, if she did Miyun, so then, it's as if the marriage never existed. So this is called Zui Yaakov Shedum and Ish. It didn't come from the man, it came from her. And therefore, who motu bikrov osev, he muteres bikrov up. Each of them can marry the other relatives because they never were considered married. And therefore, she's also not considered a divorcee, the Lopez Solomon Akuna, and she's able to marry a Kohen still. The more questions this and says, wait a second, Hok Tani Lekaman. In 1 minute, we're going to learn this in the next Mishnah right on this Talmud, where it says this din beferish. Hamim enes beish. If a woman does miyun, so then who mutar bekrov osev? He mutar bekrov up. Muteris bekrov up. So then it's as if there's no marriage. So each one can marry the other one's relatives. Lop Solomon Akuna, and she's not considered a grusha. She's considered as if she was never married. She can still marry a kohen. But Nasan lo get, who also bekrov osev, yesur bekrov av, Solomon Akuna. But if he gave her a get, so then they are in fact considered as if they were married, and now they're divorced, so the husband's not allowed to marry the wife's relatives, and the wife's not allowed to marry the husband's relatives, and she's a grusha, and she's not allowed to marry a kohen. So therefore, how can you tell me that this is the explanation? We're just going to learn this explanation in a moment. So where it says, no, Purusha Komifarish. Yes, this Mishnah that we're about to learn right now is explaining the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's a continuation of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's statement. And with that, we go to the next Mishnah, which tells us, Hamimo NSB, if a woman does miyun, so then it's as if the marriage never occurred. Who mutu bikrovosev, the muteres bikrovov, the lo posman akuna. So in this situation, the marriage never occurred, so he can marry her relatives, she can marry his relatives, and she's not considered a grusha, and she can still marry a kohen. However, if the husband gave her a get, nasa lo get, so then, in fact, it was a marriage that's now dissolved because of the gerushin. So who also bekrovos sell? He's not allowed to marry her relatives. He also bekrovos. She's not allowed to marry his relatives. And in fact, she's a grusha, psalo min akuhuna. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. Now, we have another scenario. Nasan lo get vehechzira. What happens if this was a kedushei kitana? It's a derabbanan marriage, and he gave her a get. But then he says, you know what? I miss you. I love you. And she says, okay. And they get remarried again, vehechzira. And then she decides, me and Abo, she decides, I don't want to marry, stay married with you. She does meal with him. So then, she's no longer considered his wife. And it's as if the original marriage was uprooted as well, the one that ended with a get. Now, the nisei sliacha, she gets married to another man, and that other man, in this arminor, on his garsha, the other man dies, leaves her a widow, or he divorces her. So now, normally, when a woman is married to her first husband, Reuven, and then she gets married to a second husband, Shimon, so then that's called Machzi Grushoso, Mishanises, and that's not allowed. We learned this early in the Masechta. This is Beferish Din in the Torah. So therefore, in this situation, she would normally not be allowed to go back and remarry her first husband. But in this situation, even though the first husband had given her a get, she then remarried him, and then she did miyun, so it's as if that get never occurred. And muteris lachsolo, so if she gets married to somebody else, it's not like she was married to the first husband, while the marriage to the second husband ended with a divorce or death, so that's not considered, though, that she's machzi grushoso mishanises, and she is, in fact, muteris lachsolo, she can go back to her first husband, who she originally gotten a get from, that then had gotten miyun from, when they remarried again. But if the first marriage ended with her, miyun, miyun abo, and then they change their mind, and she says, okay, I'll let you marry me, and he marries her again, vechzira, and then he changes his mind, and he divorces her, nasan lo get, v'nisas le'acha, and then she goes and gets married to somebody else. And that second husband dies, v'nisarmelo, or v'niskarcho, he divorces her, so now, asura lachzalo, she can't go back to the first husband, because that first marriage is considered having ended with a get. Albeit she did miyun originally, but then there subsequently was a get. And now this is a situation where it's machzi grushoso mishanises and is not allowed. And we turn to Kuf Chetzel Mibbeis. We say Zaklal. Mishnah tells us this is the rule. Get achar miyun. If the get came after the miyun, then asur lashalo. Then she can't go back to her first husband if she married somebody else in between, because she's considered divorced from her first husband because the get came after the miyun, and now she's machzi grushoso mishanises. That's not allowed. But miyun acha get, at first there was the get, and then there was miyun, so even though there was a get, the miyun uproots the get, even though the get was from a different marriage. right? But the Biyan still uproots that get and Muteris Lachsalo. If she then got married to somebody else and he died, she's allowed to return to marry her first husband. It's not considered Machzik Grushaso because the Biyan uprooted the first marriage, as well as the second marriage, of course. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Hamoma Enes Bish, if a woman does Biyan to her husband, and then Vinises Li Acher Begirsha, and then she gets married to a second person. So she does Miyun to her first husband Ruvain. Then she gets married to Shimon, second husband, not related at all to Ruvain. And he gives her Gerushin. Then Liacha, she gets married to a third husband, Levi, Umianabo, and Levi does marriage with her, but she does Miyun with him. And then Liacher Begirsha. And then she gets married to another person. And he divorces her. And then she gets married to another person. The Bach ends over here. Liacher Umianabo. She gets married to another person and she does Miyun with him. So what's the rule? Zaklav. The rule is, Kol Shiyotza Ben Beget Asura Lasulo. So any one of these men where she got a get that ended the marriage, so she got married to somebody else afterwards, so she's no longer allowed to marry that man that she got the get from. However, if the marriage ended with Miyun Muteris Lasulo, then she can't go back to that husband because it's never considered that they're married because of the Miyun. Again, we'll explore this a little bit more in the Gemara, so let's start off right with the Gemara. Mari starts off and tells us, Alma osi miyun umavato get. We see clearly from the Mishnah that if the get came first and then there was miyun afterwards, the miyun is mavato that first get, even though that first get was a legitimate get, but the fact that they got married again and she gave miyun, so that not only voids the second marriage, but it retroactively goes and voids the get from the first marriage, and as if they never were married. Mor says, but that seems to contradict the later part of the Mishnah. Or Minu, our Mishnah seems to say otherwise. Because our Mishnah says, Hamimo enes bish, benises liacher vigir sho, liacher umina bo, liacher vigir sho, liacher umina bo. And the Bach adds that. That's the last part of the Mishnah. In every one of these situations, we say, Zaklal, the rule is, kol shiyotze menu beged, asur lachsulo. The ones that divorced her, she can't go back and remarry, because it's maxi grushoso mishanisis. However, the ones that ended with miyun, the miyun muteris lachsulo, she can go back to those husbands. But wait a second. Alma, what do you see from here? Lo asi miyun, the chavre, ubatil gito didei. But the miyuns that were done with another man can't go and negatively impact the get that was done with a different husband. But that seems to be inconsistent with the first part where we did say that miyun is mevatel get. So how come in the first part of the Mishnah miyun is mevatel get, and the second part of the Mishnah miyun is not mevatel get? So I'm reviewing the Mishmur. Yeah, you're right. Tavra. Tavra literally means smashed, the way Rashi understands it. The shin and the tuf are interchangeable. Shavra, tavra. So it's correct. Whoever understood and learned the first part of the Mishnah like we did, that miyun is mevatel get, can't be the one that understood the second part of the Mishnah where it says miyun is not mevatel every get. Misha shanazu, lo shanazu. That's a simple teretz. Rava says, you're misunderstanding the Mishnah. Amar Rava. Rava says, well, my kusha, what's your problem? The two are talking about two separate things. Most of you are probably thinking what Rava said when you were learning this a minute ago. You were asking in your mind this question of Rava. Well, my kushya, the two aren't contradictory. The Reisha and the Sefer the Mishnah are talking about two different scenarios. The Dilma, the first situation was miyun didei, mevatel get didei. The first one was the same husband and the same wife. So in that situation, the husband's get can be mevatel by the husband's miyun. When the wife does miyun to the husband, that's mevatel the get that that same man gave her. However, miyun de chavre lo mevatel gito didei. But the miyun that she did to another man can't be mevatel this other husband's get. So that's a very simple answer that Rava says to explain that there's no contradiction between the first part of the Mishnah and the second part of the Mishnah. Gemara questions this and says, no. Umayishno miyun de chavre lo mevatel gito didei. Why are you saying, Rava, that the miyun that she did to husband number two is not mevatel the get that she did to husband number one? The reasoning is because the rabbis saw that there was a relationship between her and the first husband. And if we allow the miyun for the second husband to go and uproot the relationship of the first husband as well, and now she can go back and marry him, so then, I did the makeris birimizo sov ukritzo sov. Since they had been familiar with each other, they'd lived together for a while, so she's familiar with all of his remizos, which is like his movements of his body, and kritzosov, and his movements of his lips. So, ozil mishabesh umaisele. So, while she's married to this other man, she can detect his thoughts, so to say, by his actions and his movements. Nobody else can see this, and it's basically as if he's telling her, go and do miyun to the second man so I can go back and remarry you. So that's why in the second part of the Mishnah it says that the miyun from one person can't go and impact the get of a previous husband, because min hadin it could. But the rabbis made a gzeir over here. We don't want this man, the first husband, influencing the wife to go and do miyum with her second new husband. So therefore, the rabbi said over here, we're not going to allow this. So just like they don't allow this over here, so miyun diday, nami lolovato gito diday, so the same thing should apply over here. Once the woman got a get from the husband, the same husband, then she remarries him, so that miyun shouldn't be mevato that get, because we should be concerned over here. The Aide, the Makaris, Marines Osov, Ukrit Osov, Ozu Mishabish Umaisila. Because if she gets married now to somebody else, we have to be concerned that he's giving her signals and she's going to understand that he wants to get back together with her and she'll go and do Mion to this new husband. And therefore, just like you made Xera when it was a different husband, you should make the same Xera when it's the same husband. So I says, no, there's two different scenarios over here. Rabba was 100% correct. You know what happened in the situation where the husband gave her a get? He then said, I'm sorry, I love you, I want to remarry you. So he remarries her. And if then she walks out, the likelihood of her then walking out from a new husband based upon the fact that she wants to go back to the first husband is very, very, very low. Because she was with him. And she chose, she did miyun to him. And therefore, we don't have to make exer in that situation. But when it's with a different husband, so we have to be concerned. Since the first husband divorced her, if she now does miyun, and you see that's going to uproot the first husband's divorce, you have to be concerned. It's because of this remizosov and kritzosov that he's enticing her to go and do miyun to the other guy, and therefore the rabbis made exera. We don't want that to happen. No, bottom line is, Rav is correct. So therefore, then what is the stira? If you're going to tell me that there's a stira between the first part of the Mishnah and the second part of the Mishnah, then what is that stira? Ela'i kasha, ha kasha. If there is a kasha, this is the kasha. The chavre adechavre kasha. The question that we're asking over here is why the miyun for one husband is different than the miyun for a different husband. What does that mean? The Mishnah said, miyanabo verzira. If she did miyun, and then afterwards she remarried him, and then nasan lo get, v'nisis la'acher, and then she got a get, and then she married somebody else, and that husband died, v'nis armelo, v'nis garsha, asura la'achzer lo. So then she can't go back, because this is a regular case of that she's machzi grushaso, mishanises. But the Gemara says it's only because her second husband died, v'nis armelo, v'nis garsha. Time of this armelo, v'nis garsha. Oh, miyano, if in fact she had done miyun with this husband, in fact, muteris lachzer lo. She would be allowed to go back to her first husband. But how come? Alma osi miyun de chavre umuvato gita dide. So we would see here that the miyun that she did with this new husband is going to come back and void the get that she had with her first husband, and she'd be allowed to go and remarry him. Now, there's a major problem over here that some of the Mefarshim talk about. Once she does miyun with the second husband, so then there's no longer a problem of machzi grushaso mishanises. She's no longer married to him. It uprooted the marriage. So how come she can't go back and marry her first husband? So there are a number of terutzim that are given. I'll give you the terutz of the Birkas Avram. The Birkas Avram says that this miyun works on a basis of mikan lahaba. But in fact, she still is going to be machzi grushaso mishanises. So therefore, it still is a problem. Okay, it's a very, very good question. Let's leave it at that. Bottom line is, Gemara says, this is a stira, or a minhi, from the following scenario. The second part of our Mishnah. Hamimo enes pi'ish. If a woman does miyun with a man, and then v'nises li'acher, she gets married to another man, v'gersha, and he gives her a get. And then li'acher, she gets married to another man, u'minabo, she does miyun to him. And then, as the bach adds, li'acher, to another man, v'gersha, he goes and gives her a gerishin, a get. Liacher, another man, uminabo, and she does miyun to him. So we said zaklal kol shiyotzu mimenu beged asur lachzulo. The miyun muteres lachzulo. If it ended with a get, she can't go back to him. If it ended with miyun, she can't go back to him. Almo, what do you see? Lo asi miyun dechavre imavato gito di day. So you clearly see from here that miyun with one person doesn't come and void the get with another person. So how can you tell me that it does? So it seems to be a stira. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Tavri, again, you're right. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. The first part of the Mishnah can't go along with the second part of the Mishnah. It must be two different Tanoim. Ula, on the other hand, says, no. Ula Amar, Kigon Sheshilsha Begitin, Demirzaya Kigidola. You know why it doesn't work? It should have worked. You're right, 100%. The Mian should have avoided any previous get. But once she did this three times, now technically she only did it twice over here. So the Gideon Ashas points out The Ula holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel that it requires three times, whereas the Mishnah's language holds like Rebbe that says you only need to do a trei zimne. In any event, the bottom line is, if you have a sufficient number of gittin over here, this no longer looks like this is a ketana. It looks like she is mechzayek gedola, and it looks like she's an adult woman, and as a result, therefore, the din is different, and we don't allow the miyan to go and uproot the gets midirabanon. Okay, this was a little bit complicated. Sugya, we're going to go weiter. The Gemara now says, according to the idea that we said Tavra, the Tana of the first part cannot be the Tana of the second part of the Mishnah, so then who are the Tanoim here? Man Tana. What is this Machlokis Tanoim over here? So Gemara says, Amar Yudah Amar Rav. Yudah says over the name of Rav, it's based upon the Pasuk that we have in Eicha. Fifth parak of Eicha, it says, my dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says, meimenu, our water, bekesef shasin, we have to pay for it. Eitzenu, the wood, bimechir yavo, we have to pay for it. What does that mean? So, bishas hasakona, nebuch, during difficult times, nizbaksho halacha zu, we needed to find out this halacha, and we weren't able to easily do this, we have to go and pay somebody to go and figure out what the answer was by going to Rabbi Akiva in jail. So, harishiyotso mirishon beget, if a woman had her husband, and she got a get from him. And then she had a different husband, second husband, who had a miyun, umisheni b'miyun. So what's the halacha? Mahu shetach zol rishon. Does the miyun given to the second husband uproot the get from the first husband that she's now allowed to go back to him? So they didn't know the answer. Sochru odom echad, they go and hired a certain person, b'adam yozuz, for a tremendous amount of money, to go into the jail, put himself at risk, obviously, and asked Rabbi Akiva this question. Rabbi Akiva was locked up in jail, Nebuch, for teaching Torah. Mishalom, so Rabbi Akiva, they saw Asurim this question, and he paskin, no, she's not allowed to go back. The Miyun doesn't uproot the get from the other husband. They likewise they asked Esav Yehuda ben Beserah ben Netzivim. They asked this question to Yehuda ben Beserah in the city of Netzivim, and he also the Osar. And he said also, no, she can't go and remarry the first husband. Amr Yishmael Rav Yossi, but on the other hand, and here's the machlokes Tanayim, Amr Yishmael Rav Yossi, lazu lo hutzrachnu. You wouldn't have to go and ask this question, because certainly the miyun does uproot the get. So here you have the machlokes. Rav Yishmael Rav Yossi says the miyun does uproot the get from the other person, and Rabbi Akiva and Rav Yudim Viseri say that it doesn't. So the Gemara says, why not? Why did Rav Yishmael Rav Yossi say that this is clearly not needed? That you don't have to go and ask this question because the answer is clear that the miyun uproots the get because he says the miyun uproots the marriage. So liyasur kares hitarta. This marriage is technically an isser of misa b'dei shamayim for somebody with their relations with a married woman. But since if you don't have witnesses, it's kares. So this is called liyasur kares hitarta. The miyun uproots the normal isser of kares of misa b'dei beistin that would occur if a woman had relations while she was married. So the miyun can uproot that. So certainly, yisur lav, a lisser of lav, it's only a lav to be masu gushosu mishinei says, l'kol shekein, certainly it would uproot that. So that's why Rishmo Rosa says, no, this wasn't the question that was needed to be asked. And Baram kach shalu, in fact, if there was a question, this was the question. The yes, Rabbi Akiva, and Rehudim Mesera. Here was the question. The following case. Hare, in the Bach, adds the word, shahoysa eishes achimo. We're dealing over here with Reuven. Reuven has a mother. Reuven's mother has a brother, and this brother is married to a woman, this Ketana, and Reuven's maternal uncle. Again, keep the case straight. Reuven has a mother who has a brother who marries this brother, the maternal uncle of Reuven, marries this Ketana, a marriage derabanan. And shehi shnilo, if this was a din d'araisa of marriage, so then Reuven would be forbidden to her to marry his maternal uncle's wife because of the isser of shnios l'arayis. This isn't an isser d'araisa, but it's a shnios l'arayis. The rabbis enacted over here a gzera. If you allow him to marry his maternal uncle's wife, Reuven may come to marry his paternal uncle's wife, which is an isser d'araisa, a kares isser. So the rabbis instituted a din d'rabbanan called shnios l'arayis that you can't marry your maternal uncle's wife. So Reuven can't marry his maternal uncle's wife. No, his maternal uncle married this woman. And then he died, or he divorced her. And you know what happened then? Reuven's brother, Shimon. Now, Shimon is a paternal brother. He's not a maternal brother. So therefore, this paternal brother of Reuven, Shimon, has no relationship at all to this maternal uncle of Reuven. Because they're only paternal brothers, the half-brothers on the paternal side. So Reuven's half-brother, his paternal brother, Shimon, goes and marries Reuven's maternal uncle's wife. I know it's a little bit complicated. I didn't make a diagram here because I think I can say it out clearly. But the paternal brother of Reuven marries what would be a shnios larayos to Reuven. When he saw Achiv, Shimon marries her, this paternal brother, he saw Achiv mi Aviv, and then he dies. Shimon dies, and he dies without children. So now his wife falls in Yibum to Reuven. But it's Reuven's shnios larayos. It's his maternal uncle's wife that is now falling to him. And she's his Yavama, but there's an Issa de Rabbanan on him marrying her. So what can you do over here? Mahu, the Gemara's question is, Rabbi Shmuel, Beno Shrav Yossi said, this is what they were asking. Mahu shetemoyin hashta, let this woman, this maternal uncle's wife to Reuven, who is Shimon's wife, do miyun on the dead husband. V'sakrinu l'nisuin kamoi. So she can now do miyun and uproot that first marriage. So that first marriage to Reuven's maternal uncle's wife is considered null and void. And now, v'tisyabeh. Some of the gears at Sarasa, but we'll leave that out. The Oshei in the Masorah Sashah says the Marshal deletes this, so we'll learn it nice and simple. That now Reuven himself, v'tisyabeh, he can go and do Yibam with what previously was his maternal uncle's wife. But since she did miyun, albeit that person is either dead or was divorced her, so does this work or not? That's the question. And this is based upon yesh miyun la'achar misa bimkom mitzvah. Oh no, let's assume that he died. Make it nice and simple. So in this situation, if you allow this miyun to occur, then the mitzvah of Yibum can occur. If you don't allow this miyun to occur, then the mitzvah of Yibum won't occur. So do we say that miyun can be occurring after Misa if it will help facilitate the doing of this mitzvah? That's the question that they didn't know. And it was in times of persecution. So Sachu Shnei B'nei Adam Yab Me Ozuz. So they had to hire two men over here. Others have the gear so that it was only one person. Sachu Adam Echad. In any event, so they hired this one or two people to go and ask Rabbi Akiva in jail. Ubo v'shalu v'sur Akiva v'veis ha'asurim v'yasar. And they went, Ubo v'shalu v'sur 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 v'yasar. So both of these great Talmidei Chachamim said it's no good. So that was the question. Rishwab Rav Yossi said that was the question that they hired people to go and find the answer to. Nadimor says, Arav Yitzchak bar Ashion, Rav Yitzchak bar Ashion said, that which Rav Yehuda Amarav said, that the din is that the miyun from the second husband cannot uproot the get from the first husband. Umo de Rav, in that situation, shemuteres li ochiv shoseh shenesro lov. Rav says that yes, while she can't go back and marry her first husband, but this miyun allows her to go marry her first husband's brother. Mo de Rav shemuteres li ochiv shoseh shenesro lov. While she can't go marry her first husband, here, since the miyun technically did get rid of that get, so she's allowed to marry his brothers. Or says Pshita, why not? Who knew the makaris b'rivosov u'kritzosov av ochiv lo? We said the whole reason why this was a gzeri the rabbanim, that we didn't allow the miyun of the second husband to go and uproot the get of the first husband, was because of the concern that the first husband is going to give her signals and signs to get her to do miyun on the second husband to get rid of that marriage. And the rabbis didn't want that. But the brother, he doesn't know those signs. They're not intimate. They weren't having a personal relationship. So therefore, there's no reason that the rabbi should make a zera for the first husband's brother. So pshita. So Gemara says, no. Mal de tema, you might have thought, ligs are high or too high, that they should make such a zera. Because if we allow her to marry the first husband's brother, before you know it, she'll go marry the first husband as well. Kamash bulan, that we don't make such a zera. That's the chiddush of Rav Yitzchak bar Ashion in the name of Rav. Alternatively, Vika the Amre, it's the exact opposite. Amar Yitzchak bar Ashion, and the Bach adds, Amar Rav, the statement goes as follows, Kishem Shasur Lo, that according to this version, Rav said just like she can't go back and marry her first husband, the Miyun doesn't uproot the get, Midir Rabbanan, so too, Kachasur Li'och, and she can't go marry the first husband's brothers as well. Mor says, but how come? For Eino Makeres Bekritzo Sehem, Urmizo Sehem, the whole reason we said it was the Gezerah, that the first husband is going to have all these signals between them because they were intimate with each other, and she's going to go and give miyun to the second husband so she can get back to the first husband who divorced her. But that doesn't apply to the brothers, so why did the rabbis say that it applies to the brothers? So according to this version, it's gezeira achiv atuhu. No, here we do say that it's a gezeira. What we don't want to occur is have the first husband give those gestures and all sorts of intimations, and she's going to go and do Mion with her new husband. So therefore, the rabbi said, since we don't want that to happen, we're not even going to go let her marry the first husband's brother as a gzeira. So people shouldn't think, well, if she marries the first husband's brother, she's allowed to go marry the first husband as well. So this is the flip side, the Yikud Amre, of the first version of Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashion. This was a tough shir. I hope it was clear, but B'ezus Hashem, we start new Mishnah tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shir.